Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
From the land of Grand Hutte University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market reported as the 24th day of August, 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll discuss the commodity markets and the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour with the leader of the tour's eastern leg and the editor of Pro Farmer's newsletter, Brian Grady. And a bit later in the program, we'll hear from Josh Whitman. He's the athletic director here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, and will tell us all about the Illini and the brand new slogan he has, "We Will Win." That with Josh Whitman, so you should stay with us for the athletic director and Brian Grady on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm out of the office this afternoon, so no update of the commodity markets. Our term for the day is speculate. Speculation is the practice of engaging in risky financial transactions in an attempt to profit from short or medium-term fluctuations in the market value of a tradable good, rather than attempting to profit from the underlying attributes embodied in the instrument. Many speculators pay little attention to the fundamental value of a security or a commodity, and instead focus purely on price movements. Speculation can, in principle, involve any tradable good or financial instrument. Speculators are particularly common in the market for stocks, bonds, commodity futures, currencies, fine art, collectibles, real estate, and derivatives. Speculators play one of four primary roles in financial markets, along with hedgers who engage in transactions to offset some other pre-existing risk. Arbitrageurs, who seek to profit from situations where fungible instruments trade at different prices in different market segments, and investors who seek profit through long-term ownership of instruments' underlying attributes. The role of speculators is to absorb excess risk that other participants do not want, and to provide liquidity in the marketplace by buying or selling when no participants from other categories are available. Successful speculation entails collecting an adequate level of monetary compensation in return for providing immediate liquidity and assuming additional risk so that, over time, the inevitable losses are offset by larger profits. And that's the definition of speculation.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
Let me take a moment now to thank you for listening to our ag programming. Thank you. I mean it. Really. Thank you for listening to the programming. And just as a reminder, here's what you hear each and every business day. We start at 8:55 a.m. with the opening market report, including Aaron Curtis, Pete Manhart, Bill Gentry, Ellen Dearden, and Bill Mayer. And then an update at 10:58 a.m. with five other voices, Joe Vaklovic, Greg Ginder, Merrill Crowley, Chip Nellinger, and Steve Georgie, followed up at 12:58 each and every business day with Sue Martin, and then, of course, the closing market report, including our analysts Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, Jackie Vakes, Dan Zwicker, and Mike Zuzalem. And we wrap up each week by recording Commodity Week on Thursday evening. You can hear it at willag.org that night, or on Friday afternoon at 2:36. Oh, and don't forget that we also have a whole series of regularly scheduled analysts during the closing market report for weather. Those include meteorologist on Monday, Mark Russo, Tuesday, Don Day, Wednesday, Drew Lerner, Thursday, Mike Tenora, and on Friday afternoon, both Jim Angel and Eric Snodgrass. WillAg.org. We think it's one of the most comprehensive places that you can find information about markets and weather and agricultural news. Oh, and thank you. Thank you so much for listening.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media on this 24th day of August. I'm Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Brian Grady from Pro Farmer. He's the leader of the eastern leg of the Midwest Crop Tour. Thanks for being with us, Brian. Can you take us through some of the results released last night?
Sure. On the Indiana side of things, 173.42 was our tour average yield there for corn, up 21.3% from what we found last year. Now, Indiana had its struggles, obviously, last year, and much improved this year, and we anticipated we'd see much better crops, and obviously we did with that 21.3% increase in our tour calculated yield there. USDA, for point of comparison, 187 on August 1, and that was up 24.7%. So I think that, you know, the percentage changes are probably the key there. They're up almost 25%. We're up 21%. That's ballpark. So it's a huge improvement from a year ago in the state of Indiana. No surprise there. And now we'll see whether we have enough yield potential to get to USDA's August 1 number or not.
Any real outstanding numbers as you came into the state of Illinois?
Yeah, we saw quite a bit of improvement, actually. I came across the border. Vermilion County was right across the border, first stop there, and that was our on my route, the biggest yield that we pulled, 235 and change in that one, and that was a very strong field. Three big ears out of the ones that we pulled, and you know, it's a noticeable improvement. Even though we saw an improvement in the western side of Indiana from what we'd seen the first day on tour, you could tell, and this is what we expected, but you could tell as we went west and keep going west that things have really improved. And the Indiana average on eight stops for my particular route was over 200 bushels, just over 200 bushels at 202.4. So pretty good crop here on what we've seen so far in Illinois. I know that there are probably some areas that aren't up quite that high, but, you know, USDA put the state at 200 bushels, which would tie the record from 2014. And we'll see if we find those kind of yields continue as we move through the western part of the state.
Speaking of the west, Chip Lorien and company were moving through Nebraska. It sounded as if they weren't finding very good results. What did they end up with?
The Nebraska corn yield that they came up with was 158.6. That compares to last year's 165.16 in the state. So down, you know, I think that... And keep in mind that what we sample on Crop Tour is about the reverse of what the actual reality is out there, dry land versus irrigated. It's about 60% irrigated, 40% dry land. And we actually sample about the flip of that because we don't get out into the far western portions of the state. But with that in mind, we know how much historically we miss the state of Nebraska by, and we factor that in, and that's part of what goes into the Pro Farmer estimates at the end of the week.
So we'll see that number at the end of the week. You'll finish up Illinois and Iowa tomorrow and then Minnesota on Thursday, correct?
Correct. You know, we should continue to see very good crops tomorrow through my routes here. We'll leave the Bloomington area and move toward Iowa City. So, you know, those should be very good yields. And then on Thursday, we will move from Iowa City up to Rochester. And once again, those should be very good yields. I live in Northeast Iowa, and I can tell you that we've had pretty phenomenal growing conditions through that area this growing season.
Thanks, Brian.
All righty. Thank you.
That's Brian Grady, the editor of the Pro Farmer newsletter and the leader of the eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. Now up next, we'll hear from Josh Whitman. He's the director of the athletics department here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. An address he made last week to those gathered for Agronomy Day. The introduction was made by the dean of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, Bob Hauser.
They gave me quite a bit of material to use or to at least draw from to introduce Josh Whitman. The thing that caught my eye right away was actually in the very last paragraph. Josh grew up in West Lafayette, Indiana. So I kind of thought that might be a disqualifying factor. But we're bigger than that. We're more open-minded. But he would have had to do some things to recover from that background, for sure. And one of the first things that he did to recover from that background, as soon as he got out of high school, he came here. Okay? And he came here and he got his degree, his first degree, his bachelor's in finance, was a bronze tablet student, which means that you can't do much better. And that's a tough curriculum to earn that award in, believe me. I took plenty of finance courses as an economist and I just wanted to pass. And I did most of the time. But doing what he did is quite impressive. And then from that point on, he went to law school here and was summa cum laude in the College of Law. And then after college, he spent parts of 4 years in the NFL, because while he was here, he was a starting tight end for 4 years, and two of those years, All-American, first-team academic All-American, and then played for San Diego, Miami, Seattle, and Buffalo. So that's a big part of how he recovered from that West Lafayette experience. But he did other things. He spent a couple stints in administration as athletics director at two other schools, Washington U in St. Louis and Lacrosse, Wisconsin. And some of the stats behind his tenure at those places were just quite impressive, almost unbelievable. He, during those 6 years when he was at those two schools, earned, well, he didn't personally earn them, but teams earned, or individuals, 4 national titles, 24 top 5 team finishes, and 34 conference championships. You know, we'd like a few of those here. Right? And of course, and he's promised to provide that. Let me go back to that last paragraph again, because another important thing to know is that he's married to Hope Whitman. He remains a licensed attorney and is a member of the National Association of Collegiate Directors of Athletics and a member of the Sports Lawyer Association. And I'm glad that you're here to help welcome Josh Whitman, our athletics director. Thank you.
Wow, thank you so much for the nice introduction. I did grow up in West Lafayette, Indiana, although if we're parsing words, it was outside of West Lafayette. I don't claim to be within the city boundaries. In fact, it's very comfortable for me to be here. When I was about 2 months old, my parents bought a plot of land, about 10 acres, that was at the time a soybean field, and they built with their own hands a house that they continue to live in. Just north in the county, outside of West Side. And so I literally grew up surrounded by beans and corn. And so there probably isn't a setting that makes me more comfortable to deliver a few remarks than this one today. In fact, my high school, our football practice field was surrounded on 3 sides by corn. And we could always tell when we were getting later in the season, because we had this very private practice environment. It was surrounded on all these sides by 8-foot tall corn, and then come October, all the corn went away, and we very much felt a bit naked standing out there on the field as the cars drove by on the roads around us, watching us practice. So it really is nice for me to be here, and I'm just thrilled for the opportunity to visit with everybody. It's been a dream come true for me to be back here in Champaign, and as the dean said, the first opportunity I had to make an adult decision when I was 18 years old, I got wise and crossed the state line and came here to the University of Illinois, and that's a decision that has never, ever, I've never looked back on that with any regret. Everything that has happened to me as an adult has in some way been tied back to my experience here at the University of Illinois and in this community, both the education that I received and certainly the experience that I was fortunate enough to get as a football student athlete. And so now to be back here and to have some opportunity to give back in whatever small way I can, not just to Fighting Illini Athletics, but to the University of Illinois and to the Champaign-Urbana community, it truly is something that I wake up and pinch myself every day for having the opportunity to do. And I'm very grateful to all of you and certainly to the administration here on our campus for the vote of confidence and the support that you have shown us. I've had a chance in the last 5 months to travel all over this state. I've been from St. Louis to Chicago, up to the Quad Cities. I was just over in Decatur at the Corn Roast last week. And the thing that has been consistent everywhere I've been has been the unbelievable outpouring of support, the passion that I've seen for our Fighting Illini. And I can't tell you what that means to me as the athletic director. If I'd walked into that room the day that I was announced as the AD and there was one sad-looking little guy with a recorder who wanted to do an interview with me and the rest of the room was empty, then I would have thought we had a problem. But the reality is that room was packed, and every room has been packed ever since then with people who have smiles on their faces and orange and blue on their backs. And that, to me, bodes very, very well for the future of our program because people care. A lot of people care about Fighting Illini, and that could not mean more to us as we start to build this thing into a program that is befitting an institution like the University of Illinois that has such incredible an academic reputation that's known throughout the world for the education that we're providing to our students and for the research that we're conducting on our campus. We absolutely expect to have one of the finest athletic programs anywhere in the country to go along with this wonderful reputation that we enjoy on the academic side of our house. But in order for us to get there, and I think some of you have probably heard me say this, it isn't about Josh Whitman, it's not about Lovie Smith, it's not about Wes Lund or John Gross, it's really about all of us. This is a movement. This is something that is going to involve every person here and so many people who are not. That in order for this thing to happen, in order for us to take that next step forward with Fighting Illini Athletics, we all need to participate in that. And I think so often people think, well, that means you're asking me to get out my wallet. And in some cases we are. And there's a guy named Howard and there's a guy named Zach standing right back there. If you want to open up your wallets, they'll be happy to take some cash on the way out the door today. But it's so much more than that. It's people who are, as many of you are today, wearing their orange and blue, or flying the Illinois flag in front of their house, or making time on Saturdays to be sure that they have an opportunity to watch the football game on television, or better yet, get yourself a ticket and come into Memorial Stadium and watch in person. It's feeling a sense of pride when our team goes out and succeeds, and it's feeling just a little bit grumpy on Monday when you come in after a loss. It's having that personal investment, that stake in Illinois athletics. That's what's going to make the difference for us. Our challenge right now is to stack good decision on top of good decision. I think for too often we've taken 3 steps forward and followed it up with 5 steps back. Right now we're going to eliminate the steps back. But in order for us to take those steps forward, we're going to have to take those together. We're going to have to take those together. So I want each of you to ask yourself what you can do to help us get there. Because I think so often after the Final Four run in 05, after the Rose Bowl in 2008, everybody wants to jump on board. It's fun to be a Fighting Illini fan when we're at the top. What we need is people to be Fighting Illini fans now to help us get to the top. We've been telling people that nobody has to do everything, but everybody has to do something. Ask yourself what that something can be. Because this athletic program can be a source of pride for our university, for our community, for our entire state. People can be proud to walk around with their chest back, their head high, representing the orange and blue. And one of the things that we've gotten a lot of attention for in these last few months is this slogan, this concept, this "We Will Win" idea. And it's really been humbling to me to see the way that that has taken off. And I think it really speaks to the passion and the enthusiasm that our fans have for our program. To me, the most important word in that three-word phrase, we will win, a lot of attention goes on the word win. And I understand that, and we certainly support that. We are going to be successful in everything that we do. But to me, the most important word is the word will. Because to me, it implies a level of expectation that we have lost over these last years. We're done hoping, wanting, aspiring, wishing. We're moving on to a new phase, a phase of doing. We will win. We will graduate. We will serve. And we want that level of confidence to come from our inner circle, our student athletes, our staff, our coaches, and we want to spread that confidence to our fans, to our university, to the Champaign-Urbana community in the state of Illinois. For too long, we've walked around with a little cloud over our heads, waiting for the other shoe to drop. Now we need to walk around expecting to be successful, expecting our student athletes to go off and represent us as tremendous ambassadors of this community and this town, this institution, expecting them to go out on the court or on the field or on the track and perform at the highest level possible. We have an unbelievable opportunity with our athletic program to change people's lives. And it starts with our student athletes. We're certainly going to change theirs. We met this morning with our full staff, about 300 people strong. We talked about changing their lives. And if we do this thing right, we want to change yours as well. We want to be such an important part of your life, a source of pride, a source of enthusiasm, that you want to fly that flag outside your house. You want to go out and buy that t-shirt, wear that sweatshirt on a Friday. But we got to do it together. We got to do it together. So I can't tell you how excited I am to be back here, how enthusiastic I am about our future. I appreciate more than I can tell you the support that you've shown our student athletes over the years. I've met already some people today who've told me one of a couple things that I've heard a lot. One, I was out. I was out. I was on the sidelines. I'd gotten rid of my season tickets. I didn't think we had it in us anymore. But now I do. Now I'm back. Heard that a lot. I've also heard I was about to get out. And then these things happened, and now I'm back in. That means so much to me and to our program. I can't thank you enough for that support. And that's what we're asking people to do. If you've been on the sidelines, now's the time to get back in. Because this is a contact sport, and it's going to take all of us to get where we want to go. Thank you so much for the time. Have a great rest of your day. Appreciate it.
That was Josh Whitman, athletic director for the University of Illinois, in an address he made last Thursday to those gathered for Agronomy Day here on this campus. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we'll continue with the closing market report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's National Peach Pie Day. It's also St. Bartholomew's Day, patron of cheese merchants and butchers. On this day in agricultural history in 1842, Benjamin Wright died. An American engineer, he directed the construction of the Erie Canal. Wright made the project a school of engineering project. And until the mid-1800s, almost every civil engineer in the U.S. had either directly trained with or trained under someone who had worked with Wright on the canal. In 1869, Cornelius Swarthout received the first U.S. patent for a waffle iron. In 1894, Rudolf Geiger was born. A German meteorologist, he was one of the founders of microclimatology, the study of climate conditions within a few feet of the soil. His observations made above grassy fields and areas of crops shed light on the complex interactions between vegetation, heat, radiation, and water balances of the air and soil. In 1909, workers poured the first concrete for the Panama Canal. Finishing all the locks took nearly 4 years. In 1918, Roy McIntyre was born. A chemical engineer who worked for Dow Chemical Company, he invented styrofoam. And in 1997, Lewis Essen died, an English physicist. He invented the first practical atomic clock. His cesium beam atomic clock ultimately changed the way time is measured. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. As a Small Business Administration preferred lender, Busey partners with businesses and entrepreneurs who bring vibrancy to the community. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, urging you to visit our website. There you'll find a running commentary from the Scouts out on the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. Please do visit that at WILLAG.org. Let's take a look at some of the weather that they'll be traveling through today and tomorrow, and then get into the next week as well. In the western Corn Belt today, about a 15% chance of rainfall. That out in Omaha, Nebraska, of course. Those scouts are already into Iowa. That for today, and then tonight, they'll drop to 61 degrees there. A beautiful day tomorrow in the western part of the Corn Belt, 78 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. By the time we get to the weekend, a little bit more rainfall, about 50% chance Friday and on Saturday. In Iowa, where the scouts are running today, they're likely to get wet, I would think. 45% chance of thunderstorms throughout the day. An 82-degree high today. Tomorrow, 77 and 15% chance of rainfall for the weekend. They'll have rainfall on Friday and Saturday and Sunday and into Monday. Not until Tuesday do they see sunshine again in that Iowa area. And then here in the great state of Illinois, for those that are running the tour, they'll find themselves under rain today, about a 50% chance, a high of 88 degrees. Tomorrow, 87, another 50% chance of rainfall. Friday, mostly cloudy, under some sunny skies. By the time we get to the weekend, a 45% chance on Saturday of rain in the area. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, all partly sunny skies, maybe a few thunderstorms around. Let's turn our attention now to some other growing areas around the globe. We'll begin in Kyiv, Ukraine, where they should have a harvest of a corn crop yet to come. 70 degrees today, a 60% chance of light rain. Looks like beautiful fall weather for them tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. All sunshine. Highs in the upper 70s to the low 80s, and then it gets a little warmer next week. They run up to around 92 degrees, but no rainfall in the offing for most of that time period. They'll drop down to about 60 degrees in the evening. In China, the northeastern corner of that nation, where they grow a whole lot of corn and soybeans, they'll have 73 degrees and clear skies on Friday, 78 and mostly cloudy on Saturday, 79 on Sunday, Monday, 79 degrees. They'll drop to lows that are a bit lower than what we are here in the United States, 46, 49, 50, 51. They don't get anything in the way of rainfall until we get Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. And then they will get some rain. In fact, they're calling for about 100% chance of rainfall in the growing regions of northeastern China. You've been listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Do find us online at WILLAG.org. Have a great afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, for 100 years offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.